Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You know how Jay Binkley always says, big bundle of suck, Dustman? How about this for your AFC North starting quarterbacks this week? Jake Browning, Cooper Rush, Dylan Gabriel, Aaron Rodgers on a bye. Yeah, dude.
That whole division went from, man, I love the AFC North to, the AFC East may be better.
Yeah, literally.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this, this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
Is the only thing saving that division right now.
41-year-old Aaron Rodgers.
Where are you with Baltimore right now, Mac?
He thinks they're going to win the North.
I mean, yeah, I did.
Even after yesterday's news?
With Lamar news, I can't as confidently
is
say
Is anybody
that.
Apologetic to Lamar saying that he quit and then really, he actually did have an injury?
It's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know.
Should we, you know, sorry?
Yeah, fine. Maybe we were wrong on that, but But it sure looked like it, right? It wasn't a good
Absolutely.
Look.
Absolutely, it wasn't a good look.
And when people, you know, on the sidelines are saying that's the word that's going around down there, like everybody was kind of feeling that. And that wasn't just Josh saying that. Like, no. A lot of people were talking about that. You know, and it's 2 to 3 week injury. Is he sitting out 2 to 3 weeks so they can kind of...
They wouldn't. I mean, come on, that's the season.
I don't know.
We're talking about the whole season.
You're 1-3. Your whole defense is injured. You know, are they going to use the 2 to 3 weeks to say we were all wrong because we called them out for it? Like now they have to make sure that he misses a couple of games just to save face. I don't know. I'm a conspiracy guy. You know that. 100%. I don't believe anything on face value.
Yeah, I got to believe that he's actually hurt if they're sitting him, but. No, I can't have him win the division if he's going to miss 2 or 3 weeks. No, I can't.
Yeah.
Can't with good conscience. I will say I'll still have him making the playoffs. I think this AFC landscape is
I mean,
hot
Cincinnati
ass, man.
Is still ahead of the Chiefs for the playoffs right like, now, right?
That's
I mean,
crazy.
Which I love at NFL.com. They've already got the playoff picture. The Chiefs are the 7th seed, you know, right now. But Cincinnati is the 6th seed, and they're ahead of Kansas City in the playoff standings. Not that any of that matters at this point in time, but it kind of tells you where the league is right now. Because if you look at where the Ravens are, they're 12th out of 16. So they're not even close to making it into the postseason right now. They still have to climb over the Texans, the Raiders, the Patriots, and the Broncos. And those are just the on-the-bubble teams right now for Baltimore. Maybe it does get different later in the season, and again, you can't write anybody off. But I'm thinking right now, if I have to decide and be definitive on today, I just think the winner of the North, whoever that is, probably Pittsburgh, I think that's the only team that makes the playoffs this year.
From the North?
Yeah.
Because you'll have at least 2 from the West, and the Patriots are looking like they could make the playoffs in the East. So right there, that's 4. You're at 6. You still need one more. You're at 6.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who's it going to be? Is it going to be Denver? Is it going to be the Raiders?
Yeah, you're right, Denver.
I mean, you look at the 8th team right now. It's the Broncos, Patriots, and Raiders at 8, 9, 10.
Bleak. NFC's for sure better this season, yeah.
But the 49ers are the 2 seed right now, and that's not staying.
That's not staying either. That's true.
Yeah, only a quarter way through the season. So much is going to happen. So much is going to change. I mean, Chiefs are going to get better offensively. Yep. We saw one offensive game when Xavier Worthy came back, and it was night and day. So, all right, Mac, let's see how stupid we are.
Let's do it. 707, that is the number. Is the text line smarter than Bob and Dusty? 913-586-7965 is the number to the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. 586-7965. The number is 707 as it relates to last week's game. It's not necessarily what a number that was in last week's game, but it relates to last week's game. 707 is the number. What does it mean? Please text in and be smarter than Bob and Dusty.
I know it. The amount of losses that Lamar Jackson will eventually have to the Chiefs.
707. It's close. It's close.
Hmm. Let's see. Is it the amount of passing yards given up all year by the Chiefs defense?
No, that's a good guess. No. I can give hints as we go. Let's see if I have any.
707 is the number that relates to the Chiefs, and last week is an indicator of it.
I know. The amount of different blitzes Spags has in his arsenal.
Yes, he does have around that, yes. No text in from the text line. No guesses yet. It's a distance. That's all I'll say. It's a distance of time. Total yards, Bengals yardage has to be a winning percentage. The amount of times the broadcast show Taylor Swift in 2024 compared to 2025. 707 total special teams yards. 707 beers I consumed this year.
Yeah, I'm at a loss right now. I don't think anybody's getting it.
No, it's fair. 707 days in between games that Mahomes has thrown for 4 touchdown passes.
Oh, wow.
He's done it 18 times total, 7 of which were his first season starting.
How many times did he do it?
18.
He's 7. Done 18, so almost half came in year one.
Year one.
Because he had to.
Yep, because it was, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Counting Sundays, had 5 4-touchdown passing games since 2021. And we saw success in the run game, more success from under center, and that made everything easier for Patrick Mahomes. I mean, even just that little flip pass to Pacheco for a touchdown, the whole defense was going towards the run, right out in the flat, wide open for Isaiah Pacheco. Mahomes is more the most efficient deep passer in the league right now with the 3rd most attempts.
Mm-hmm.
He's more efficient than we've ever seen him be, and the O-line is continuing to mesh, and it's all going to look even better. They have the 9th best sack percentage right now, but again, that's a credit to Mahomes. The best sack percentage in the NFL as an offense right now, meaning they keep their quarterback safe. They keep their quarterback upright the most. That is the Jaguars.
Wow.
Only 3 sacks for Trevor Lawrence right now. So there you go, 707 days in between 4 touchdowns. Let's make that gap a little smaller next time.
Yeah, let's
right?
make it 6.
Yes,
let's exactly. make it. Well, it's going to have to be 7, I guess, because I guess we have a Monday night game or whatever it is. But that's interesting. It's been that long. It shows you, you know, as good as Patrick Mahomes is, he can't put up those numbers unless he has those weapons doing what he needs them to do out there to open things up a little yes. bit for him. And so you get those guys back. I mean, that's why I'm excited about this offense moving forward, because it was really good last week, and it's going to be even better once Rashee Rice gets into the mix. And that's why if you're a team right now in the NFL, you got to be looking around going, Chiefs aren't going anywhere. They're here. They're fine. And I think that has become kind of the narrative now around the league, where it was like, all right, they're back to 500.
To me, the 707 was my total number of Taco Bell orders this year.
Oh, buddy.
Wow. That is a lot.
707 more yards Thornton has than Sky Moore.
Remember when I told you on Monday to take Patrick Mahomes as the MVP because it was plus 1,000?
Mm-hmm.
You want to guess what it is now on DraftKings?
Half that.
Plus 650.
Wow.
Third best odds behind Josh Allen, who is at plus 100, Justin Herbert, who I think believe is at plus 350, okay. and then Mahomes is at plus 650.
Well, I think when you look at the award, it's the most valuable player to the success of their team.
Or successful. Successful fielder.
But this is a situation where Patrick Mahomes is the reason why the Chiefs are 2-2 at this point in time, right? Like, this guy willed them to a victory against the Giants and then was beautiful on Sunday against Baltimore.
Immaculate.
And he was really good in the first couple of weeks of the season that gave his team an opportunity while they were going through stuff to figure out ways to move this thing forward. And I know it's a boring vote for Patrick Mahomes, and I know everybody loves Josh Allen right now, and he's playing great this year. I mean, if he's not the quarterback, Buffalo's not sitting there at 4-0 at this point in time. It's their league right now, guys, and everybody else is just living in it. It is a Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen-led quarterback league, and everybody else is battling for 3 and battling for 4. There's no more conversation about who the top 2 quarterbacks in the NFL are. It is Patrick Mahomes, it is Josh Allen, and it is everybody else in this league right now. There's no more debate.
Somebody says 707 is the amount of packages my wife has ordered from Amazon.
And 707 is also the amount of boxes she didn't break down.
707 Taco Bell orders equals 1,224 dude wipes used.
I like that, yeah.
That's good math.
Yeah, I think the reason that we're starting to see Mahomes play better throughout week and week after week after is the fact that he's starting to feel more comfortable in the pocket. And that's one thing that I said is why he would have an MVP season, is once he gets that trust, and like Binkley has told us, and I believe what DJ had told us, is that it takes time to gel in this league with this offensive line unit and the defensive line unit. And I think we're starting to see gelling happening on both sides of the ball, from the defensive side to the offensive side, right? Karl Loftus got to the quarterback last week. They got 3 sacks on Lamar last week. They created pressure with Jalen Hurts in that game when they blitzed a ton. And then you look at the offensive line. If Mahomes is able to trust that offensive line and stay home, this league is in some serious, serious trouble. And I don't mean that as like a homer take or a bias take. If Patrick Mahomes is able to do a 3-4-step drop back and feel comfortable and eye the defense and eye that secondary of the field, you're effed, dude.
You're screwed.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, that's just what it is. Like, I know he's great being improvisational, but if he ain't got to do it all the time and he can actually do the natural sort of quarterback thing, I don't know what to tell you other than the fact that, like, there's going to be another MVP and there's probably going to be another AFC championship.
And you're also going to look at a situation where Patrick Mahomes and this version of the Chiefs, if they end up winning the Super Bowl, right? And you do have to kind of quantify it with that. You can take it roster versus what ultimately happens. If they end up winning a Super Bowl, you can make the case that this will be the best team of this entire dynasty, Gary. Because,
Gary.
With the defense yeah. playing the way that it is and giving up 18 points per game, and the offense, once they get all their weapons back in full stride, I mean, you find me a team with the Kansas City Chiefs that was better on the roster from 1 to 53 than where we are right now. And it's hard to do because when they were dominating on offense, they weren't great on defense. And then they started to pick it up on defense, and they weren't that great on offense. Now they have the opportunity to be great on both sides of the football. And this organization really has, with all the successes, they've never been just dynamically awesome on both sides at the same time.
707, how many times Mac's been on his phone while driving this year?
Oh, that's a low number, I would think, for Mac.
707, the amount of cups and bowls I found in my teenager's room this year.
That's how many I found, too. We're looking for spoons. Oh. So if you got any spoons that you're finding, let me know where they are.
707, Kling's age.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
707, Bink's body count. Good
oh,
Lord.
Wow.
Oh, 707, times I've eaten at Smokehouse Barbecue.
Yeah.
Nice.
Love it.
707, times Gary Myers was wrong in one phone call interview. That comes from me. Coming up on the other side, we grade some first quarter reports of Chiefs players that Mac will give us the name of here on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
This is Fesco and Dusty. Tune in to hear from ESPN's Nate Taylor every Thursday at 8:20 right here on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
You looked at your phone yet?
Okay, so Bob just sent us a text.
Oh, that's... my God. My mother just sent that to me. That's from her friend's neighbor's yard.
Yeah, that's horrific. Oh. I mean, it is the month of Halloween.
Oh, my God.
It is basically a deer that has been...
decaying.
It looks like it was attacked by a coyote, probably. But it's like it's got its head and tail, and like the coyote ate out the midsection, so it's like the carcass of this deer. I mean, it is. Show it to the camera.
I know that I'm soft.
Show it to the camera. You guys got to show Dusty, that to the camera.
Oh my God.
It is, I mean, it is as gross. I think, yeah, and we're talking about it. We got the ability to show people, right? Can you see it on the camera,
yeah,
Mac?
A little closer.
A little closer, Dusty. I mean, look at that thing. It was. I mean, that thing was hollowed out in the middle section there.
Oh, that looks like me the next morning when I forget to eat before drinking.
It's nasty, man. God.
That's like the best time to get on the scale. Like, you go Friday night, you go happy hour, you come home, you tie up a few more, you end up going to sleep at like 10, you wake up, man, I didn't eat last night. I went away. Oh, wow. One meal later, back to normal. man, that is insane. That's
gross.
I'd be calling the city. I'd be like, yeah.
Well, I think that's, yeah, that's, I'm sure they did. Hey, you got to come get this thing, right?
Well, and all the bugs that fly around.
Oh, God. And it's still warm everywhere, too. Ugh. So, you know, the smell of that thing in the backyard has just got to be absolutely disgusting.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I was not expecting that. So quarter report for the Chiefs, as we are 4 weeks into the season. Week 5, Monday night, 7:15 against the Jaguars. I really do want Clean to do a live report from that pool.
I do, too.
Like, just take shorts. You can go shirtless. You've worked on it enough. You look great, Clean.
You know anybody who's ever been in that pool?
No, but I'd like to find out.
I do. Marlins man has been in that pool, right?
Ah.
He was at the game last night. I said, who's sitting next to you? He goes, oh, that's Matt Harvey.
The guy with like the goggles or whatever.
Not the red goggle guy. I don't know who that was.
That was interesting.
But Matt Harvey is like showing his face at the Yankees Red Sox game, right?
You say, don't take me out yet. The Dark Knight.
He saw that happen to Crochet. He goes, been there, done that. Oh, wait. Yeah. Crochet actually got through it.
He's actually a stud pitcher. But no, quarter report for Chiefs players. Mac, you can take this away and give us the names or what you think that we want to give the grade of those players that you have listed.
Yeah, let's start with like a rookie check-in. You know, every month we can kind of just look at this big rookie class because we lauded this rookie class as maybe the most important since 2022 as far as the future of this dynasty and sustaining success,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's only 4 weeks in. We don't have a whole lot of sample size, but... After 4 weeks, Ashton Gelati, what would you grade him?
I'm going to give an incomplete. I don't know. I can't really decide what he is supposed to be doing, what they're asking him to do, what they're trying to get him to do. I know I've seen him make some plays. I know I've seen him in there getting some playing time. So I'm still at an incomplete because for me, I'll be honest with you, I don't watch much of the defensive line. It's hard, you know, to focus on the lines. So I'm going to give him an incomplete at this point in time because I just haven't seen enough to give him a fair grade on anything yet.
Yeah, Gelati, I mean, for what we know, I think he's done fine. So, like, average, I give him, like, a C+. I just would like to see more, but it's not, like, a failure, right? He's done more than Felix Ndiki Uzama. He's still on the team.
No, he's on IR. Yeah, he's hurt. Right. He's done for the year, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. They shut him down at the beginning of the year. But, yeah
he had to get surgery.
He's already made more of an impact, in my opinion, than that guy. He is noticed when he comes into the game, at least in my opinion. I'm like, oh, that's Gelati right there. That guy's coming in. So
Polamalu hair.
Right, yeah. Like, it's clearly obvious who he is. And I'd like to see more of him. But what I've seen so far, a mid, you know, C-plus grade.
Omar Norman-Lott, his defensive line.
Yeah, same thing. It's still an incomplete, but I love that sack that he had in Philadelphia against the Eagles. Maybe. I mean,
in Kansas City.
Yeah, that was one of the best sacks that I've ever seen. I mean, that was just a powerful, I'm going to show you how strong and forceful I am, Mr. Hurts.
And that guy's seen a lot of sacks at the J.
Yeah. And he went out there and knocked that guy into next week. So I like him, but still, it's an incomplete. It's a defensive lineman. He's a rookie. He played four games. There's not a huge sample size right now.
I'd like to see the midterm grade of this, because we'll do that again, obviously, after week
for
eight.
Sure.
But the, you know, the, I guess semester would be that. But yeah, like, so far I'm with Bob. Like, I want to see more. And I think Spags is starting to figure out where guys are going to be at certain situations. Obviously he does not like Pro Football Focus grades. They don't give you the full perspective.
He's
of
right.
The player. But yeah, I mean, I would love to see more of these young defensive guys on this defensive line. But again, it's still just like a C, but I haven't seen like a failure, right? Like, the sack was insane. Like, that's just one of those, like, hit sticks on defense. Perfect timing. Drew it up. Nailed it. But I would like to see more of these young dudes. I think they're hungry. I think they want to be part of this Spags defense. They fit the mold that Spags likes for the defensive side. And I would like to see more to see if that grade goes up from a C to a C+.
Noel Williams.
Well, I mean, he's been outstanding. Yeah, you can see defensive backs and what they do. Like, it's easy to watch a defensive back get burned. It's easy to watch a defensive back make a play. So it's easier, I think, to make a judgment. And for a kid who was, what, a fourth-round draft pick this year, to play like he's one of the better cornerbacks in the NFL right now, I love what I'm seeing out of him. He's an A. He's a solid A for me.
Yeah, A++.
I like that. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, A++, man. Because, again, I told you guys last night, maybe I was in the garage too long, as I'm starting to reorganize it and put some things together. Shout out to Maloney for all the bar lights that he's given me. Those are awesome, hanging on the wall. And I'm out there and I'm thinking to myself, are we seeing it happen again? Charvarius Ward, in comes L'Jarius Sneed.
Mm-hmm.
Trent McDuffie, out goes L'Jarius Sneed. Noel Williams, Trent McDuffie. I know. I'm an idiot most of the time. But I also realize what I have seen most of the time. The highest graded defensive cornerback in the NFL through the first 4 weeks of the season is Mac who?
Noel Williams.
Okay. Did Brett Veach do it again? Like, what is... He can't keep getting away with this.
Exactly.
The hell he can.
Yeah, he gets the players and shops for the groceries, as Bill Parcells said, and then the coaches prepare the meal. And that's where Dave Merritt comes into play. He's taking great ingredients and giving you Michelin stars for your players. I mean, this is not some sort of, you know, chicken fried steak or something out there. He's getting good meat. And he's creating the best steak that you could have, you know? It's unbelievable what Dave Merritt is doing.
I mean, Noel Williams barely played in that week one game in Brazil against the Chargers. It showed, right? I mean, that secondary was Swiss cheese. It was a piss-poor effort. We've seen Noel Williams get better and better and play more and more. He is the L'Jarius Sneed to Trent McDuffie as long as they keep playing together and stay here together. Josh Simmons, we talked about him a lot in the offseason. We've got to see him the most out of any of these rookies.
Yeah, I love it. I'll give him an A. He's been outstanding.
Agreed.
I mean, coming in at left tackle and playing in the NFL against, like, the second hardest position against, you know, the defensive linemen and the rotations that they have, I haven't really noticed Josh Simmons on the field. And that's what I wanted to do this year. I didn't want to talk about Josh Simmons at all this year. That means you're winning, and Josh Simmons is going out there and he's winning. So I give him a solid A, too.
Yeah, I mean, the guy is a stud. I'm going to give him a B+, because I don't think he's reached that A level yet, which is not any shot at him. But if he's this good, getting a B+ from me, imagine what A is going to be. Because once Mahomes is officially comfortable in that pocket because the left side is secured, because let's be honest, Kingsley had a really good game against the Ravens.
It's great.
Now, I know the defensive line for the Ravens is beat up and maybe playing against the B squad. But I'm sorry, you play against who you're supposed to play against.
Yep.
And Josh Simmons, yeah, hate that pick. Ohio State, so far has been fantastic as a rookie offensive lineman.
Yep.
He's played 4 weeks. He's starting to get tendencies down. He's starting to gel not only with his brothers on the line, but also his guy that he protects in Patrick Mahomes. And once they get on that same page, brother, I'm telling you, man, the league is in for a whole new awakening of a sleeping giant that might be awoken at number 15 for Kansas City Chiefs.
You know, we're talking about all these rookies and the impacts that they're making already. We're 4 weeks into the NFL season. Rookies don't make impacts this early in the NFL. Look at some of these guys. Look at the top two picks of the draft. Was Travis Hunter two or three? I can't remember now.
I think he was two.
Two, right? How are one and two doing?
Not too great.
Not great. No, number three is doing just fine in Abdul Carter. But go down the list of all of these guys that have been picked in the NFL, and to have these rookies making these kinds of impacts, we're not just talking about week four. Week three, we saw Noel Williams start to emerge.
Oh, yeah.
He was really good against the Giants, right? You saw Breshard Smith emerge last week. You saw, really, in week one, Josh Simmons emerge. You saw Norman Lear with the big sack, man. Mm-hmm. That's week two. It takes time for rookies to figure things out in the NFL. I know we don't live in that world where we want to give guys an opportunity to learn. They're just supposed to hit the ground running. But it does take some time. And through the first 4 weeks of the season, our guys seemingly are ahead of the curve right now.
Breshard Smith seems to be maybe a little bit ahead of the curve as well after his week four performance, barely playing in those first 3 weeks. What do you grade him? I know it's tough.
It's tough. It's a little bit of an incomplete, but I like where he's headed, so I'm going to give him a B.
Yeah.
I mean, I like what he
showed promise.
Like, he took his first test and got a B, and you're like, man, you were this close to an A, man. You're getting this. You're this close to an A. Go get that A next time.
Yeah, and these are AP and honors classes that he's taken, and he's already getting a B. We like that.
And they're hard, believe me. I know I've got kids in those classes right now. I'm looking, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, I'll give Breshard Smith a I'll give him a B minus. Again, for what he's done, it hasn't, you know, there isn't anything like super explosive yet, but again, he's going against time. He hasn't had a lot of opportunities to like show himself. Now we've seen the snap gap go up. How about those Chiefs on X? They gave the good point that 19 snaps in this last week, the most he's had in the first 3 weeks was 8. So there is some sort of trust brewing. We'll see if he can handle that trust in a larger role. I would love to see that sort of option because, again, Isaiah Pacheco, seventh round running back taken out of Rutgers, played pretty well as a freshman in the NFL. Pretty good solid rookie year. Breshard Smith, seventh round pick, got a lot of talent. If they can open up those floodgates and then all of a sudden you give Patrick Mahomes more time, you can start running more screens, you can start swinging out Josh Simmons on the left side. Again, there's a lot of options out there that can make this team go that much more higher on the ranks from an offensive standpoint. That is Josh Simmons. That is Breshard Smith. Yep. That is the return of Rashee Rice. That is the development more in the offense with Xavier Worthy. We saw one game since he's been back, had 120-plus purpose yards from the line of scrimmage, and it was one game back.
And that 30-yard rush that you mentioned, Patrick Mahomes mentioned this week, who was that out in front of him clearing the way? 71, Josh Simmons,
Josh
maybe.
Simmons was out there,
With that Brahma Bull nose ring.
Hell yeah, dude. Love it.
Smash.
I'm surprised you don't have one of those.
What?
I'm surprised you don't have that.
Oh, God.
Don't think I could pull that off.
Dad won't allow it.
No, I mean, he probably wouldn't have been here if you had one of
them. Hey, what's up, guys? Sports qualified. What's that in here?
Never mind.
Get your way of texting and driving.
Love your show, Bill.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And you can keep loving it.
That's exactly right. So it was Brian, actually. It was Brian. Yeah, my cousin. It was Brian. JJ spoke yesterday. They kind of did the wrap-up of the season. And I don't think the Royals had a bad year. They didn't get to their expectation level of winning and getting into the postseason, but they did have a winning season. And you're going into this offseason, I think, feeling pretty good about where this team is, actually. I mean, I think, I don't know about you, Dusty, but I feel better about this team going into this offseason than I did into last offseason. Because going into last offseason, I thought, God, a lot of guys had career years. It's going to be hard to duplicate. And then, you know what? For all intents and purposes, they all duplicated it from a pitching standpoint. And they got better in the pitching rotation this year than they were a year ago. They got 8 guys that can start. They've got a closer that led Major League Baseball in saves. They've got arguably the best player in the game. They've got Vinny Pasquantino. They've got Salvador Perez. I feel really good going into this offseason for the Royals. I do feel better than I did a season ago for them. A couple of additions with a bat or two, and this team, man, look out. They could contend for the division next year and should with the rotation that they have.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't like the confidence they have in the hitting coach. And I know that I'm going to go out on and say this, but like, I just don't think that's your answer. They had Bobby Witt Jr., Michael Garcia, and Vinny Pasquantino put up big numbers, and they were still terrible when it came to offensive production. I think they will try to get somebody in this lineup that is a big bat until they do it. I don't know if they honestly will, because I've said yesterday, and I'll say it again, I think there are seven positions on this team that are all going to be locked in for next year. First, second, short, third, catcher, center field, I think are all solidified as guys that will be on this roster, on the opening day roster next year. There's still some things that they've got to change when it comes to this team from an offensive standpoint. And again, they said they're going to bring back Zumwalt. They're going to change things up in the hitting department a little bit. But like, what good does that do if you come out next year in the middle of this, in the first month of the season, your hitting struggles still continue, and then get rid of the guy that was clearly the obvious problem? I don't think it's slander to say that, you know, I could be Bobby Witt Jr.'s hitting coach. I mean, I could just be, hey, Bobby, go be Bobby. All right, thanks. Sounds good, man. Michael Garcia went outside of the hitting coach to get pointers on how to become a better hitter. We know that. We've been told that from the guy that's the greatest Royals baseball player of all time in George Brett. And I would like to see more dramatic changes in regards to how they can change the hitting approach, what they can do in that regard. But you are right. For many, 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 many years, it was developing pitching. It didn't happen with Coar. It didn't happen with Singer until the last year. It didn't happen with, you know, other names that were on this team that were drafted in first round.
I mean, there's a century-long names of lists, right. You know?
And they finally developed with Brian Sweeney, who got the job done. Cal Eldred got sent packing. All these guys got sent packing until they finally found the right guy with the pitching prospects, everything like that. Like, Noah Cameron was great. Cole Reagan's obviously injured. Seth Lugo was never really a full-blown starter until he came to Kansas City. Then all of a sudden, he started learning how to pitch better thanks to the pitching development here in Kansas City. I would love to see an addition of a bat, not like a, you know, minor guy or something like that, but I still think there's answers or questions to be answered within the hitting department, because I do want to know what those answers are. And I think that there is a potential trade candidate within your rotation. But what we saw this year is also a way to pump the brakes on that pitching rotation, because everybody in the starting rotation got hurt, mm-hmm. and you were like, well, who's going to throw now? And maybe you fell into some good luck with Noah Cameron. Maybe you fell into some good luck with Ryan Burgert. Maybe you fell into some good luck with Chris Bubich. Maybe we never see Chris Bubich that great again. It didn't last a full season. Cole Reagans has pitched one full season with the Kansas City Royals.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how, you know, gung-ho I am to like maybe deal one of these pitchers, because like the offensive line we've seen with the Chiefs, they were there for the first 7 weeks of the season. Then you play the Super Bowl in Tampa Bay. You're like, who's starting on the offensive line?
Yeah.
What's Patrick Mahomes going to do? But I do feel that this team is headed towards a new type of era of Royals baseball. They go to the ALDS and lose. They go to a next season. They're supposed to be a playoff team. They want to be a playoff team. They were humbled tremendously this year. Going down in surprise Arizona telling people, we're a playoff team. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then if you're going to be that playoff team, then you're going to have to catch this smoke from your city when you're not. Because you can say you're a playoff team, but in my opinion, you can't back it up and say, well, we won 82 out of 80. It's like, yeah, but like, you should have won 86, 87 games because you saw what happened in this division. That was a 15.5 game lead at the beginning of August that dissipated quicker than we've ever seen in our lives. And Cleveland was below you.
Yeah.
And now Cleveland's playing yesterday and today in a meaningful playoff game. So I am happy that they are winning and they are changing their ways, but I want to see more. If you want to be that playoff team, you've got to make tough decisions. Whether that is dealing a pitcher for a batter, whether that is maybe getting outside of your comfort zone in the checkbook, Mr. Sherman, and being like, hey, we're going to pay this guy. We don't care.
Yeah, and they've kind of done that, you know, like
with their own.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, we never even had that here in Kansas City before, right? We couldn't even get our own signed to contracts. And so now we're doing that with our own. I think with the hitting coach right now, you've got guys inside that organization that love Zumwalt. You've got guys outside the organization, I'm sure, that don't like him, right? It's all about personal preference and how it works and whatnot. Eventually, the players got to play. And the first month of the season, they just didn't play. They were not performing. They were not hitting the ball well, and they fell into that hole. And then they went into an 8-18 stretch, and they never really recovered from that. I don't think the fan base ever came back.
They lost the season in June.
They did. They lost the fan base in June, too. And so it was just kind of a a scrap back and forth to get back to where they are. It does need to be a very active offseason. They need to trade Noah Cameron. They need to get a big bat in here because maybe they have a big bat in that lineup. You take the pressure off your pitching staff. They don't have to go out there and give up two runs or less in order to keep you in a game. You go out there and you start having less taxing innings on your pitchers as well. And then at the end of the year, Seth Lugo doesn't tire or Michael Wacha doesn't tire because they aren't going out there and pitching extreme innings. Like, there's a difference between a clean, relaxed inning versus a high intensity inning as well. And I feel like for the Royals pitching staff all year long, for 162 games, every inning was a high intensity inning for them because they realized if they made a mistake, their offense wasn't good enough to come around and get runs to capitalize on that. So it makes it a lot more difficult for your pitching staff. And they were still brilliant this year. Go into next year, add a couple of bats to the lineup, find an everyday second baseman you can rely on, find a corner outfielder that you can rely on, and now all of a sudden your pitching staff is more relaxed. It's easier to do their job knowing, you know what, I don't have to go out here and be perfect. Because when you try to be perfect, sometimes it just doesn't work. And you build up those high-stress innings that ultimately kill you at the end of the year. And so that's why they need that bat in there. That's why it's okay to trade pitching, because you're going to get better as an overall organization. And the biggest thing that they need to improve on, and I don't know how in hell you improve on this, and we can talk to Q at 9 o'clock about it. He'll say the same thing. I don't know. I'm listening to the dead man. Like, it's off season. I don't need these questions today, Bob and Dusty. But the one thing that they need to get better on is getting those runners in from third with less than two outs. They failed miserably this year when they were one of the best in baseball last year. And why that happened, I don't know. Also, base stealing was not good this year either. Oh. They were terrible on the base pass this year. Base stealing, base running, all of that. And that goes from, okay, we got to find a way to scratch out runs, then we tend to do too much. So just go out and get two veteran bats, and everything will take care of itself in the lineup. They were just overmatched, and you were relying on Hunter Renfro. If you don't get rid of, you know, Brent Rooker, you don't have to have Hunter Renfro. MJ Melendez, turd. You know, like, there were guys in this organization that you still had to cycle through, and now you're 82-80, two straight winning seasons. Everybody's excited in the organization about where they're headed, the new stadium, all this kind of great stuff. Now they're going to invest that money back into the team. And that's why it's important to have that new stadium, those revenue generators, so you don't get outbid anymore by people. Oh, yeah, we got the money coming in from the apartments. We'll pay for that. And we'll bring our players in and we'll make our team better. That's what I love to see about this organization. It's forward thinking right now. And I think they're going to have a fun. I think it's going to be a great offseason for us in Kansas City.
I hope you're right.
They announced Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it.
Bet he loves it. Don't like it. Coming up next, Pro Football Focus grades and why Spags says they're irrelevant. I don't know if that's the words he uses, but they're not accurate. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Trent McDuffie, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Said Binkley wants some credit because we keep giving him flack about his don't like that pick, not a fan of that pick, Josh Simmons. He wants credit for Noel Williams?
Yeah, he said he had Noel Williams coach on draft night, so.
Well, we apologize, Binkley. We're sorry.
Yeah.
At least he had Noel Williams.
And he had Patrick Mahomes a couple of years ago. Yeah. He says he's admitted on air he was very wrong about Josh Simmons.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, took one preseason game.
Oh, don't like that pick.
Yeah, not a fan of that pick.
Now enshrined in Canton, Josh Simmons. Presenter, Jay Binkley. Didn't like the pick. Still don't.
I think there's a reason why you love Steve Spagnuolo more than most people.
What grades are you using? That's what everybody uses. The only thing, you know, Chris Collinsworth, I think he's a good dude, and he's involved in that company. I don't know how you grade put a grade on somebody when you don't know actually what their assignment was or what they were being told. So, I don't know. It's like, from our standpoint, I thought Chris in this particular game had a real big effect on the game. They obviously found ways to double him, whether it was two linemen, the running back at times was chipping inside, which you don't see a lot, because that was the Chris Jones effect. a number of times that he didn't get there, but I think he forced the quick throw or step up. So, you know, from my standpoint, I don't remember what Chris's actual grade was, but I know that at the end of the game, I thought the guys up front, Chris included, had a big effect on the way things went.
Is that music to your ears?
No, it is. I mean, think about it this way. You are a teacher, and you give out a test, and you tell the kids to answer the questions on the test, and then you give it to somebody else who's not the teacher, like the teacher's aide, say, grade these tests, but you don't give them the questions to the test. You just show them the answers. Well, how do you know if the answer corresponds to the question that was asked on that test? You don't. And that's what Steve Spagnuolo is saying. Semi-pro football focuses grading these guys, but they don't really know what they're grading them on. They don't know what play was called. They don't know what assignment was presented to them. They don't know what they were supposed to do on that play. They literally know nothing. They're grading a test where they see the answer that is happening, but they have no idea what the question was. They don't know what the assignment was. Teachers will assign things all the time. Kids come home, they do their project. If you just do a project and you don't know what the assignment was, how can you grade that project? And that's what Steve Spagnuolo is saying, and he's dead on about that. Semi-pro football out of focus is giving you a grade on a test where they don't know what the questions are, but they're seeing the answers. They don't know if Chris Jones was supposed to do that and allow Nick Bolton to come in on the inside, or he was supposed to angle in and let somebody else cut in on the outside, or maybe it was a zone blitz and he took a step back so he could be in position to not. Like, we don't know at all what anybody is supposed to do on these plays. That's why it's impossible to give them a grade. That's why I look at the semi-pro football out of focus rankings. I'm like, what are we really grading on? Just somebody's own opinion. And if Mac was in charge of grading out the Chiefs today, and then I was in charge next week, our grading system's the same. How are we doing all this? How are we looking at it? So I do find it to be a very fallacy way of deciding whether or not a player is good. And to hear a coach say that is music to my ears, because it's needed to be said for years. People have lived and died by these semi-pro football out of focus rankings, and we're grading a test where we don't know what the questions were.
Yeah, I mean, right. I think that there's still some sort of emphasis on it because, yeah, Chris Jones is, you know, doing these things, but Chris Jones has one sack on the season. I'd like to see that number increase.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean he's grading out poorly. You could say, I'd like to get more sacks. Okay.
Yeah, but he's also graded as, like, being a disruptive defensive tackle, and, like, it seems like there are times where he's disruptive, but where the grading is that he's not at the full point of what his grade should be. We just did grades at the quarter of the season, giving guys, you know, B's and C's. Like, what would you give Chris Jones so far in the season?
Probably a solid B right now. I mean, I think he's made some plays and done some things. We'd all like to see more. He is 30. I mean, you know, so the production number is going to go down on Chris Jones. I'd like to see, honest to God, I think the coaches should release grades after every week for their players, for everybody to see, you know, what's going on. The NFL is a world now where we are so obsessed with consumption of the NFL, right? We are sitting here taking semi-pro football out of focus rankings and using them like they're the Bible because Chris Collinsworth told us about it and he signed a deal with AWS and NBC. And now all of a sudden that's become the Bible of how we grade players. Based on what? Who anointed that as the Bible? But because of X and social media and all this stuff, it's picked up steam and everybody thinks, well, they know it's pro football focused or whatever. Chris Collinsworth, they must know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing any more than any of us know what they're doing because we don't know what these plays are. And so I find it very hard to judge based on ancillary grades what people are doing. I'd love to see the coaching staff come out and give these grades. Then you would kind of understand, and real grades too. Like don't hide behind the stuff. Give us those real grades and let us know what these guys are doing or what they can be doing better. Again, because everybody loves information in the NFL. How cool would it be if every Monday morning after the game, the team had to release their individual grades? It would be awesome to know, is this guy in position? Is he doing what he's supposed to do? Is he not doing what he's supposed to do? Because at the end of the day, the only people who really know what these players are doing and if they're doing it the right way are the coaches out there on the field. Semi-pro football out of focus is nice. It's fun. It's a gimmick. It's no different than me giving out grades to players at all. Mine don't mean anything. Theirs shouldn't mean anything. The only thing that matters is what these coaches are seeing and what they're saying. And if they're doing what their bosses want them, go for it.
Yeah, I don't think anything should be end-all, be-all. Someone shouldn't say, oh, I thought that guy was good, then I saw his PFF grade, so never mind, right? Like, you should take everything into account. You should look at multiple things, read multiple things, listen to us, hear what we think, make your own decision for yourself. But Spags goes on in that audio, and I think at the end, he says that's basically what they do when they are facing an opponent, right? They're grading the opponents that they're playing every week when they watch the film based on stuff that they don't necessarily know what they're about to do. So he can trash PFF, but then he says that he's kind of doing the same thing. So my question is, I'm not saying Spags is wrong. I've never been a huge, like, PFF is gospel. I like to look at it every now and then. I actually think their off-season stuff's better, grading a whole season. What? How is a whole season for a player? Mm-hmm. But, yeah, man, I don't know. How do I grade? Like, what am I supposed to do?
But do we need to, though? I know how I do it. Do we need to? Because there was a time up until, like, the last, I don't know, let's say 5-10 years, where we didn't have grades for players. And we were just fine as a society for that, right? And again, like I said, we want more and more and more and more information about the NFL. But are we getting the best possible information? Are we getting the right information? Or are we just getting information from somebody who was first on the scene with this and established themselves as the end-all, be-all, and now everybody just thinks, well, they must be Pro Football Out of Focus. It must be right because it's Pro Football. No, they were the first on the scene. They cornered the market on it.
Oh, yeah.
And it kind of took off from there. And Spags is like, yeah, we don't know what these guys were supposed to do. You don't know where they were supposed to be. There's probably a lot of plays where you go, what is that guy doing? And he's doing exactly what the team wants him to do at that point in time. And we don't know that. We just don't.
Yeah, I don't hate the grading system. Because we love it when it sells, and then we hate it when it's bad. It's like, oh, man, Patrick Mahomes had an A-plus this week. He was the best-rated quarterback in the league. Told you. And then it's like, Mahomes gets a C, and Dak gets an A. It's like, well, Mahomes was, you know, 21 of 38 for 165 yards and a touchdown and a pick. You're like, that's not a good game. You're like, well, but also they won the game. But it's like, it's graded on performance. So, I mean, I think that there are certain ways. Like, it's everything, right? Like, I don't know, man. Like, I got this debate in college one time. Like, why are we judged on grades? Why aren't we just judged on projects? And, you know, when you get to college and you get to the later into your college career, that is what you're graded on. You're not really graded on exams a whole lot. At least I wasn't in my major. It was more so like, can you organize something? Can you put it together? And can you present it?
Yeah.
And that had nothing to do with, do you know what 2 minus 2 is divided by 3 to get X, Y minus B or whatever the hell those letters mean. It was more so like, yeah, I can't figure that out, but I know I'm going to be okay in life because I pass all the other tests, similar to Pro Football Focus, whereas like, yes, you are going to be graded by your dominant of performances if you get to the quarterback, if you get sacks, but what you're not going to get graded on is like how you as a person made someone else available.
Yeah,
right? Like,
well, yeah,
George
exactly
Karloftis
right, yeah.
might get an A this last week for getting a big sack on 3rd and 1, whereas Chris Jones might get a C, but like if Chris Jones isn't double team, is Karloftis able to get around there? So again, I think it can be both. But I do like to have that availability because it gives us casual fans a letter grade to look at and be like, oh, yeah, he was really good.
Yeah.
Or it gives you the conversation that you can have on a radio show and be like, you know what? That guy wasn't right. Thanks to Next Gen Stats, Juwan Taylor's the worst right tackle in football.
Yeah, but I don't need a Next Gen Stat to see Juwan Taylor doing his thing out there, right? Like, again, that's where I'm different than a newer generation where they need these numbers and they need black and white absolute evidence, even if it isn't black and white and it is a gray area. Trust your eyes. It's okay to trust your eyes every once in a while and not have to have somebody justify that your opinion is correct. I mean, if you watch Chris Jones and you think he's playing great and you're satisfied with Chris Jones' team's winning games, that's all I need. I don't need to say some guy, you know, sitting behind a computer gave him a, you know, a 72 because he didn't do something he was supposed to do that you don't really know if he was supposed to do that or not. You know, you don't know what the game plan was. They may tell Chris Jones, hey, just make sure you absorb 2 or 3 offensive linemen on this play and we're going to sneak the linebacker in. And
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
So Chris Jones goes sideways, and it looks like he's getting turned. They're like, look, they're taking care of Chris Jones. They're wiping him right out of the play. But the whole play was he needs to turn sideways, absorb more of offensive linemen. Nick Bolton can get right up the gut there and make that tackle. But Nerdy Von Nerderson is sitting there going, they turned Chris Jones sideways. Yeah, but Spags said, go out there, get turned sideways so we can open up the line.
Coming up on the other side, we recall the entire Royal season one last time with Matt Cotrero, the manager of the Kansas City Royals here at 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Nick Bolton, and you're listening to Fresco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Houston, when the game's on the line, you trust the Texans to deliver. When your life's on the line after an accident, trust the official personal injury attorney of the Houston Texans, Sheriff Injury Law Firm. Insurance companies have a game plan, and so do we. We fight for your rights, your recovery, and your results. After an accident, before you call the insurance company, call Sheriff Injury Law Firm. Sheriff Injury Law Firm, proud partner of the Houston Texans. Houston's choice for real, relentless results. Go to www.callthesheriff.com.